The Immuration of Winter, Part 1. There are sad tales, and there are sad tales, and then there is this one. It happened one winter not so very long ago, and it could well serve as a warning or cautionary tale to all those who inhabit such climes as experience winter. It is a chilling tale, and I do not mean that just in the sense of room temperature. There is a good chance that you will shudder when you hear it, no matter how many sweaters and pairs of socks you are wearing. You may shudder even if you are immersed in a hot tub with only your melon and paws exposed. What I'm saying is that it's disturbing. It began, as I already said, one winter not so very long ago. Gordon, a youngish man in his early 50s, had just returned to his apartment from a rather jolly afternoon spent filing large pieces of metal until they were smaller pieces of metal, for which he was paid the princely sum known as the minimum wage, when he noticed an envelope lying on his floor. Gordon thought this very strange, as he lived alone, and he was very sure that he had not placed the envelope there on the floor by the door. He picked it up. On the front, in bold typed letters, was his name, Gordon something. His surname was not, in fact, something, but I do not wish to reveal it. He thought this very strange, and just for a moment he was a little frightened. That was until he remembered the postal service and the mail slot in his door. He opened the envelope. In it was a letter and a check. Gordon looked first at the check, as it appeared to be, and in fact was, made out to him. The figure was quite large enough to startle him and make him drool just a little bit. Just enough so he had to slightly wipe his mouth with the back of the hand holding the envelope and the letter. This reminded him of the existence of the letter, and he started to read. The letter said, "Dear Mr. Something, it is our sad duty to inform you that your maternal granduncle, Gordon Something Else, has passed away as the result of a tragic unicycle accident. Mr. Something Else's estate has been credited with a sum of money from the manufacturer of the defective vehicle, and we enclose here your portion of this sum as a named person in his will. We are sorry for your loss and congratulate you on your gain. Should you require legal representation at any time, please keep us in mind. We are Gorman, Jarman & Hotz, attorneys at law. Have a nice day." Gordon dropped the letter and envelope to the floor and returned his attention to the check. It was quite large. Well, it was a regular-sized check, but the amount stipulated was quite startling. Just for a moment, Gordon contemplated buying a unicycle. This was, Gordon thought, and I think you'll agree, an interesting turn of events. It opened up several doors and raised a number of possibilities in Gordon's brain besides the purchase of a unicycle. One thing that fairly quickly occurred to him was that it was no longer really necessary for him to spend his afternoons or mornings or evenings, for that matter, filing large pieces of metal until they became small pieces of metal. In fact, if he exercised just a little bit of self-restraint and good sense, it would not be necessary for him to do anything in the afternoons or mornings or evenings that he did not want to do for quite a long time. It did not take long for Gordon to adjust to his newfound wealth. Almost immediately, as you might have guessed, he quit his job. He began the work of filling his pantry with canned and boxed and bagged and otherwise cartoned non-perishable food items. He bought himself some new comfy sweaters and fleeces, a couple of pairs of flannel pajama pants, and some really great slippers. Well, they weren't really slippers. They were heavy socks with little non-slip pads on the bottoms, but they were meant to be worn as slippers. Gordon then went to the bookstore and bought all the books he had wanted to read for years but never did. He concentrated especially on the long ones. He got A la recherche de temps perdu and A Remembrance of Things Past, so he could read them together, alternating chapters to get the full effect, whatever that was. He bought the Odyssey and Ulysses. He picked up the Mahabharata, the Romance of the Three Kingdoms, Clarissa, and all the Hardy Boys, Nancy Drews, and Bobsey Twins he could lay his mitts on. He purchased quite a lot more than that, but suffice it to say, Gordon bought a lot of books. After that, he went to Blockbuster and bought a whole whack of DVDs, including the nearly 7-hour Bondarchuk War and Peace and Heaven's Gate, which just seems like 7 hours, and all the seasons of both The Bob Newhart Show and Newhart. And then he went home. It should be clear now, even to you, that Gordon had no plans whatsoever to exit his domicile until spring at the very earliest. He saw absolutely no reason to. He had plenty to eat and drink, warm, comfy clothes to wear, and movies to watch, and books to read. He was all set. Or so he believed.